It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, four big points already in the bag on this New York tri-state area road trip, and two more up for grabs on the island tomorrow night. We're going to talk about it. Brian McCormick, Darren Elliott here with you. Nighttime at Noon. Great to have you with us on Fox Sports Las Vegas and across all of Golden Knights digital channels. We've got Kevin Kelly and AA in the back of the room, making sure we don't do anything stupid like I just did right there. We've got Luis Martinez on the other side of the glass. Dave, Shane, Dan, Gary, they're all in the land of Studio 54, but we're in Studio 31 talking VGK. You had a couple of stints in New Haven, Connecticut, early 80s. I think Studio 54 had already come and gone by then, though.
It was a thing. It wasn't my thing.
No, it wasn't your thing. You weren't doing the disco?
No, I was more CBGBs.
Well, we're more lively and imaginative here in Studio 31 regardless. But lots to talk about for the Golden Knights last night. Overtime win, picking up an extra point at Madison Square Garden. Again, picking up wins over New Jersey and the Rangers to start. Taking on the Islanders, Flyers, and Blue Jackets to round out this trip. Four straight wins for the VGK now, dating back to their home wins over San Jose and Chicago. Maybe figuring out a little bit of the overtime thing, getting success over the last week with that as well. But last night, after New Jersey was one of their more thorough performances of the season, last night was finding a way late.
It was. The pushback, Jersey had a good pushback in the second. It wasn't as stark as the one that the Rangers put on them, because they absolutely had them underwater for most of that second period. So that's what the good news is. The team rallied and really pushed in the third and finally got rewarded. Mike Sullivan, the head coach, his head was going to explode because they called coincidental minors, which made it a unique 4-on-4, pull the goalie 5-on-4, which is now you get to run your regular power play. 6-on-5, even for the offensive player, it's just an extra player that can get in the way, and you don't really run your options the same way.
Well, let's dig into that deeper, too, though, because Mike Sullivan's also going to have an argument, and it's not an unfair argument, that he could have had a power play in overtime as well. Mitch Marner got sticking in the skates of Matthew Robertson. Play goes on. So Mike Sullivan wasn't happy with a lot of the officiating last night, but fans might have been surprised to see him blowing up so much at coincidental minors late in the game. But to your point, it wasn't that he was upset that that they were taking both. It's that at that point of the game, 5-on-4 and 6-on-5 are so radically different, and it's multifaceted. A, as you mentioned, you get to run your usual power play.
Right.
And then on top of that, it also doesn't give the benefit of, for Mike Sullivan, they can't ice it. It's still even power in terms of what you can do out of your own defensive zone. But also, when you're 6-on-5, okay, as a defending team, I've still got my 5. I still have a chance to collapse my guys inside the house and create traffic and take away options in front. By making it 5-on-4, you know you're going to have an outnumbered situation in front of Jonathan Quick, which is exactly what Mark Stone and Tomas Hertl took advantage of.
Yeah, and again, with Tomas Hertl so strong in that position, moves down from the bumper out like the tops of the circles in the slot and gets, you know, halfway between the crease, and no one put a stick on him, no one put a body on him, outnumbered, and he just bats it home. So it was really exciting. Obviously, the overtime winner as well, a set play by the team, Jack Eichel with the finish. But you have to like the way they're trending in a lot of respects. There's still things they have to get stronger at, depth scoring, stuff like that. But overall, there's so many good things in this four-game streak, in particular, getting some points when you go to extra time.
It might be the nerd in me, but there's goals scored in games all the time. And you know, good puck movement or high to low. The tying goal and the overtime goal, to me, were those intricate, one level deeper kind of plays that you almost want to take the telestrator out. And, you know, again, we've talked about the implication of the matching minors that created the 5-on-4 with the empty net. Another thing with that, too, is, you know, we talked about how important Mark Stone is. We talk about it all the time. He has a point in every game he's played this season. He's been phenomenal. You'd think there'd be some rust coming back from his absence. None whatsoever. But one of the things he does so well he's such a good net front presence. And if you look at the hurdle goal, that puck stays alive. Jonathan Quick has a chance to cover that puck.
Right.
Stone gets a piece of it. He pokes it to keep it alive. And when you have, in that situation, just the benefit that Bruce Cassidy has, not everyone can be a good net front player. And it isn't just being hard to move. It isn't even just having the courage to stand there. There's the ability to get your stick on pucks. Same as in a face-off situation. Pucks up for grabs for the two guys the same, but one guy gets his stick on 60%, the other guy 40%. Mark Stone and Tomas Hertl both get their sticks on pucks in front, and it keeps plays alive like last
night. Keeps plays alive. And then the puck retrievals, the support. That's really at the heart of course, the skill and all the way they run their offense, but that's at the center of their success on the power play. Keeping plays, winning faceoffs, Hertl, keeping plays alive. And a lot of that is like poking pucks to spots where you have support and you reset. They do that really, really well. Mark Stone, we know he's a wizard with a stick, right? I mean, he makes more plays in the open ice with, you know, stealing the puck. Yeah, he's got a future when he retires as a croupier. I can see him. I can see him being the guy that grabs the dice from the crafts table.
That guy always impresses me. He's got all the eyes on him. But so there's the tying goal, and it's another instance of the Golden Knights finding a way late.
Yep.
Forcing overtime, and then in overtime, an entertaining overtime. Carter Hart, we're going to talk about him a little bit too, because not only has he played his first two NHL games in almost 2 years, he's had to do extra duty in both of them, and he's been very solid. Let's talk about the goal for Jack Eichel, which is very much a set play. The puck is dropped with, what, maybe 12 seconds on the clock?
That's another one where Mike Sullivan's probably mad, because the clean win by Zibanejad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's do it over again. Get the
yes.
Right? So they had to reset the faceoff.
Well, the set play is terrific, because Shea Theodore, right off the draw, Jack Eichel takes off. And with no time left on the clock, of course, the Rangers are not thinking purely defensively.
They're thinking all offense. And to the point where the defenseman was shaded all the way over to the boards on the strong side, leaving the – I mean, that was
– And that's another interesting –
an overlook.
So again, the nerd in me, okay?
And me.
That face-off
right.
was the first instance of three-on-three hockey in the entire overtime.
That's right, because the guys came out of the box, the coincidental minors, they played four-on-four without a whistle.
If it's still four-on-four, which it would, that's hypothetical, it wouldn't be. It's three-on-three for a reason. But if it's still four-on-four, that lane to blow the zone ain't there.
Right. That's right.
If you're Mike Sullivan, it's surprising you have Matthew Robertson on the ice.
First of all, right? Rookie, 22 games. That was his 22nd NHL game.
And he's not – it's not Fox. It's not, I don't know, Braden Schneider. It's not someone who's – overwhelmingly offensively inclined at the NHL level. But he's a rookie who hasn't even played 20 games, so you have him on the ice. That's interesting. And then he does a million things well, of course. Who does Jack Eichel blow past on that draw that doesn't even think to go with him? It's Artemi Panarin.
Right. He's going the other way. He's thinking, puck's going to go to the net. I got to get there.
And I'm not saying it's an offensive zone faceoff with 12 seconds of overtime. What's Artemi Panarin doing on the ice? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, like, you're probably looking at Artemi Panarin being like, That's yours.
Well, he wasn't going to, unless
he's not going to win that foot race.
No, unless he steps in front of Eichel, because Jack Eichel was, he could have been in sprinter's blocks.
Yeah,
right. That play was just designed for him to blow the zone regardless, and everything else, as you mentioned, Howden then wins the second faceoff cleanly. Theodore knows what's going on. Perfect billiard play, right off the boards. Perfect bank pass, and we joked a little bit about the ice conditions at Madison Square Garden, notorious for being the worst ice in the league because it's on the fifth floor. But also, they had a basketball game. The Knicks played in the afternoon. So, again, that puck being iced, no chance. And all those little things roll into perfect pass. Jack picks up in full flight. And then, of course, what a move.
Yeah. And we talked about the Rangers in that instance thinking all offense. How about the Golden Knights?
Thinking
offense.
Thinking all offense. Yeah.
And a play that also is just so well designed for a 3-on-3 hockey. And we see more and more of that. When we've done Silver Knights broadcasts together, just because we get to spend a lot of time on that side of town, and we talk about the speed of Jackson Hallam and Ben Hemmerling, and what we say so often about those guys is, look at how players are just throwing the puck out into space and saying, go get it. It's not tape-to-tape pass. It's, I trust you to win a foot race, go get it. And Jack Eichel's going to win a lot of foot races, and that's exactly what they let him do. Let's throw it out there, go get it.
No, and especially when it's already preconceived, so he really has a quote-unquote head start, because that's what he was going to do. He was doing that whether they lost. If he lost the phase, if you watch, I mean, again, when we see the replay on it, he kind of cuts in inside, just like he's supposed to. If they lose the draw, he goes to the defenseman. He didn't lose the draw, so he's gone.
Gone.
He was gone, and that was really exciting to tie it in the last minute and to win it in the last seconds. That's a fun come from behind victory for sure.
Tremendous hands in tight for Jack Eichel. We're going to hear from Jack Eichel, his comments after the game last night. We'll get to that in our next segment. We also want to hear from you. Send your questions, comments across Golden Knights digital channels, and Kevin will pass them our way. We'd like to get you guys all involved in the show as well. So the Golden Knights pick up the extra point, their second overtime win this week. They got the overtime, the shootout win against Chicago as well. And also last night doing against a Rangers team that, you know, their trouble scoring has been very, very well documented, but they haven't given up a whole lot. Igor Shesterkin and John the Quick have had good seasons. So, again, being able to come back late on the road the way that they did, that adds another asterisk to it for me.
Well, the Rangers can't score at home.
Yeah.
They've gotten a little better, but the zeros, you know, 0-6-1 start at MSG, shut out five times in that seven-game span. So they're better because now they're about 500 at home. But on the road, they're one of the better road teams. They score a goal or more per game on the road. Those home road splits typically even out a little bit, but I'm sure they're pretty happy with the way they played, especially in the second period. But again, the coach is going to say we didn't get the result we wanted. Conversely, you picked up a point.
I'll tell you what, it's just geographically, it's a tough road trip. Golden Knights are having a lot of fun with it so far. Again, 2 points in New Jersey, 2 points in Manhattan, and now they go to play the third-place Islanders in the Metro, then they'll go to Philly, then Columbus. You guys talked about it on the pregame show last night. The separation between first and last in the Metro division this morning is 7 points. Which, and you know, 7 points, and Columbus has 32 points. They would be in fourth in the Central. So it's not that they're tightly bunched and at the basement. They're tightly bunched and respectable, which is to say that road trip looks like a gauntlet, and you're already two-fifths of the way through it with some good points in your pocket.
Well, and the other thing is, again, the team, you know, all the extra thought that goes into guys getting rest, trying to keep a schedule that is, you know, conducive to success, that goes into setting up a home base. At, you know, you stay in one hotel for 5 or 6 nights. That never happens, and then you just kind of shuttle off to the cities. And they haven't practiced. They haven't had morning skates. They've practiced on off days at Chelsea Piers. So it's as consistent a schedule you can get and kind of make up on the road. A lot of teams wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, these guys have put a lot of thought into that, and so far, so good. It's working really well.
We'll play more to talk about, including the work of Akira Schmid of late. Right now, Schmid and Carter Hart is a small sample size, just a couple of games, but he's got 4 points in those two games. So the Golden Knights getting good goaltending right now. We'll talk about that. We'll also hear Jack Eichel's post-game comments from last night when we come back after a break. But first, we remind you that the Silver Knights are hosting their 5th annual Lucky Launch on December 16th when they take on the San Diego Gulls. Fans are encouraged to bring stuffed animals to launch onto the ice after the Silver Knights score their first goal. Every toy will go to local kids for the holidays, and Lucky plushies will be available on the concourse with proceeds going to the Henderson Silver Knights Foundation.
What's that again?
Lucky plushies. Ooh. Five times fast.
I'm not even going to try it once.
They're also going to – have you seen those horseshoe pillows?
They're awesome.
Did you see what Tanner Lyszynski did the other day?
Yes.
Tanner Lyszynski threw one that was defective. It exploded in row
– feathers everywhere.
Row 16, yes. Yeah, so they rectified that. That guy got a new plushie pillow. But just when you're throwing them, be careful. If any of these things explode, the cleanup goes up by 15 to 20 minutes. But December 16th against the Gulls, the – 5th annual Lucky Launch presented by America First Credit Union. And again, bring as many stuffed animals as you can bring in with you, as many as you can. It doesn't have to be one. We make sure every kid has something special this Christmas. So looking for tickets, head to hendersonsilverknights.com, hendersonsilverknights.com. Santa Claus may be there as well. We'll hop out. More to come. Nighttime at noon. Brian McCormick, Darren Elliott here with you on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
I feel good.
The Golden Knights Holiday Ticket Package has returned for the holiday season. It's now available for purchase. The all-new ticket plan includes three home games, with the first coming on December the 17th when the Golden Knights take on the New Jersey Devils, 7 o'clock puck drop. Also included in the package is a custom VGK jersey created for fans celebrating the holidays. Learn more. Visit VegasGoldenKnights.com today. VegasGoldenKnights.com for the holiday ticket package. Back on Nighttime at Noon, Brian McCormick, Darren Elliott, talking everything and anything VGK. The Golden Knights having a great run of late. They've won four in a row and enjoying their East Coast swing thus far. You know, I just want to circle back and give you an opportunity to give such a wide variety of insights we can always get from Darren Elliott. We can get NHL experience, AHL experience, Olympic experience, youth hockey organizational experience, and you also are intimately involved in the actual crews that maintain the ice and the turnover of the buildings. You talked about the potential for less than high quality ice at MSG last night because of the structure of Madison Square Garden and what that requires for the tech to have good ice, but also right. The Knicks played at noon Eastern time, and then the Golden Knights dropped the puck at 7 Eastern time. So it's about 3 hours or so. And again, they're not the only building in the world that will do that. But you know, it takes a lot of manpower to get that turnaround so quickly.
And it's so orchestrated. I mean, everything it has to run precision smoothly. And there's lots of moving parts. Lots of forklifts on the ice. Lots of people coming and going and getting the subfloor that protects. You got to take off the basketball floor, then the subfloor that protects the ice, and then get the ice to the quality that you can anywhere, but MSG in particular for NHL hockey. So it's amazing work by those guys for sure.
I just think to myself whenever I see those time lapses, whether it's MSG, T-Mobile Arena, Crypto.com, wherever it is, they go, how'd they build the pyramids and how'd they do Stonehenge? Like all they had to say was people are coming at 5:45 and it got done like that. But Golden Knights taking care of business, and then they'll be on Long Island tomorrow night to take on the Islanders national broadcast. But I believe Scripps might be carrying it as well, so we'll get you broadcast details for that as the program goes along. After last night's win, Jack Eichel had the overtime winner for the VGK in late dramatic highlight reel fashion, and after the game he spoke with members of the media. Let's hear what Jack Eichel had to say.
Well, you're obviously trying to possess the puck, and it's just a 4-on-4 situation, right? 3-on-3 when there's only six guys out there, there's a little more space. Usually it's a little more back and forth. 4-on-4, you know, you get two defensemen out there playing back, and it's less odd man rushes, and you know, teams are trying to, condense things and keep you out of the middle. But, tons of credit to the group. Stuck with it.
It doesn't happen without a face-off win. And, you know, I think they threw Panarin out or they had to redo the face-off.
It's a bad
idea. Which was very fortunate for you guys because he won it.
Yeah, it was a great win by Houds. Great win by Houds. And then, great pass by Thiel. It was sort of a set play that we had planned, and it was nice to see it get executed. But like you said, doesn't happen without a face-off win.
And talk about hurdle, you know, tying things up.
You know, sometimes that's what it takes, and tons of credit to the group. I thought everyone stuck with it and found a way.
How surprised were you when Butch threw 4 on the ice with Theo? You, Stone?
Not surprised. I think he's got trust in all our guys, all defensemen, all the forwards. So, sometimes he's moving things around. And, you know, I think that's something that this group really prides itself on. Your number's called. Be ready to go.
Is this any more fun or any more special, winning this in overtime that way, given the struggles this team had in overtime just a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, overtime's definitely not been our thing this year. So we were able to get a shootout win the other night, so we went an extra time, and maybe we're turning the tides here. So we find a way to get one tonight. And you take wins however you can get them in this league. It's hard to win. They're a good hockey team. It was a full team effort tonight. I thought we had a lot of chances, hit some posts, guys battled. It was a huge fight by Keegs. Great team effort. Great win.
Can I ask you about Braden Bowman? I wanted to ask you yesterday in practice, but I didn't get the opportunity. What has impressed you about this young man in the short time you've been with him and have him on your line?
I think just his demeanor. He's, you know, sometimes you get a guy who gets called up, young guy trying to find his way in the league, and they're a little more hesitant to be able to, you know, make some of the plays. And, you know, they don't want to make mistakes. But, you know, he's a guy that sees the game well. He goes to the net. He works really hard. He's got a good hockey IQ, and he's super easy to play with. So it's been a lot of fun getting to play with him and continuing to get better. And a lot of things have impressed me about him. He's continuing to get better.
And that was Jack Eichel. And, you know, they say short memories are important for hockey players and hockey fans alike. But a couple of overtime wins, four straight wins, and how rosy everything now appears after there was some frustration a couple of weeks ago. Now it's a Golden Knights team that's riding high and finding ways to pick up extra points in tough places.
Well, you felt like you maybe left some points on the table, so to speak, losing so many times in the extra session. And as you said, now you've turned that a little bit, but in the big picture, with everything that's gone on, Hanifin missed 10 games, Stone missed 12 games, Aiden Hill's out.
Goaltending.
Like, when you think of all of those things, depth scoring hasn't come around yet, and you're 1 point from, you know, leading the division. So
with a game in hand.
Right. And so you're you know, big picture is like, wow, nice job hanging in a peculiar start to the season.
If this is the storm to weather, it's been weathered. Now, we're going to talk goaltending. One more time just to bounce back to it because, again, Jack spoke on it a little bit, what Tomáš Hertl does. And we talked about, for a player who's a good net front presence, it's the ability to be hard to move. It's ability to get pucks on sticks that others don't. If it was easy, everybody would have one. But they don't. Your Hurdles, your Kreiders, like, yeah, they're few and far between. And I wonder why that package is so rare.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Golden Knights fans, you spoke and the Golden Knights listen. The new VGK Locals menu is now available at all team home games. The menu features hot dogs, nachos, water, fountain soda, pretzels, and popcorn for just $5.50 each. Season ticket members also receive an additional 10% off on all concessions, including the VGK Locals menu. Check it out. Your next trip to T-Mobile Arena, and go Knights go. Back in Studio 31, Brian McCormick, Darren Elliott here with you. Sorry to scare everyone. We did have a technical issue inside of Studio 31, having too much fun. Darren Elliott making salient points, so much so that someone's trying to stop us. And we will get to the bottom of this. We're not going to let this stand. But my understanding is that we're back and we're good. And this seems like a good time to go look at some of the fan comments. As we mentioned, we are streaming across all VGK digital platforms. You can send your thoughts to the show. We have Blue White Flame saying audio. Allison Black 6964, technical issues. We'll keep going on. No sound. Can't hear. Audio. No sound. No audio.
Those aren't questions.
Excellent points made by our audience. And because of those submissions, we have, I do believe, fixed our problems. You know, we've been talking about the Golden Knights' recent run, which is largely, again, strengthened by goaltending. They're still getting the scoring from the players you expect to get it from. You'd like to see a little bit more depth as things progress, but right now they're getting terrific goaltending. And I'll tell you, there was a point this season where we were speaking of Akira Schmid, and you talked about how they've weathered this storm of complications over the last month and a half. And it was, hey, he's giving you a chance to win. He's holding the fort. We've reached a point now, he's just flat-out playing well.
And the numbers bear it out.
Yeah, I mean, especially on the road.
Yeah, especially on the road. 10 wins, a career high already. Again, part of that's the opportunity given. But I love seeing athletes being given an opportunity and taking that opportunity, making the most of it. A lot of noise, a lot of static around the goaltending position here in Vegas as well. And, you know, he's just been a guy that you could count on each and every game. To me, it's been very, very impressive. As you said, Brian, it's past the point of, oh, what a nice surprise. He has shown that he can win and be very successful as an NHL goaltender.
And I think just to add more kudos on top of it, this is a player who came over from the New Jersey Devils and had a lot of accolades, and they thought this is who he could be with given the opportunity.
Right.
And last year in Henderson, he struggled. He had a hard time in Henderson last year. And when he got called up late in the season, I think people were, okay, well, how's he going to adjust to that? And I remember Fred Brathwaite saying, and of course the Silver Knights had their struggles last year, you know, just defensively and what he was facing, but he was having challenges. And Fred Brathwaite said, I think he's going to be better up there. There's just something about the way the NHL game is played compared to the AHL game. I think it's going to suit him better. And he was great last spring. That's why he had that opportunity coming out of training camp, and he's just absolutely run with it. So not only good on him for his play, but for not allowing last year's challenges in the AHL to hamper him. He moved past them.
And talking to Freddie last year about Akira Schmidt and Carl Lindbom, he lost his starting job. He was supportive as a teammate to Carl. And he kept putting the work in, on the ice, in practice, after practice. He continued to refine his craft. So when his moment did happen, out of nowhere, it's usually that is how that goes, end of last year, he was good.
Yeah.
And then this year, coming out of camp, he's okay. Someone has to play better than him. No one did.
Yeah.
And really a good story. And how about him? Times have changed for a long time. Two shutouts, doesn't get the follow-up start. That used to be guaranteed. You get a shutout, you go in the next game. Not anymore. They have a schedule. They stick to the schedule.
This is your day.
Yeah. This is your game. So good on him, and it had to feel awfully good going into New Jersey, facing the team that drafted him and where he played his first game, all those kinds of things, and beating them on this road trip.
I wonder, everyone's different. And as you mentioned, times have changed where, you know, goaltenders used to start 75 games, too. Like, those days are not coming back.
No.
But, you know, when you played, if you had a shutout, you always want the net. But right. Would you be annoyed now to not get a chance after? Or some people are saying, hey, I got a shutout, did my job. It's like a starting pitcher in baseball, like, I got tomorrow off.
I think it's evolved with goalie coaches and working with the coaching staff to say, you know, what gives us as a team and the player to be successful, is it to just change your schedule? So they schedule it out, like, you know, a month ahead of time in terms of where certain guys are going to play, and they don't deviate from it because a plan is a plan. And unless the team's not being successful, then you might have to change your plan. But when it is, why change it?
Let's broaden our scope and look around the hockey world a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of HSK, the Silver Knights. We mentioned on December 16th they're going to have the lucky launch. That'll be their next home game. They're about to head out on the road, Bakersfield and two in San Diego. And the significance of the Bakersfield stop on Wednesday is because they haven't been seeing a whole lot of anybody else. This will be their fourth straight game against the Bakersfield Condors, a team that has given them historically more trouble than anyone else. But the Silver Knights split with the Condors at Lee's Family Forum this past weekend, and they find themselves just past the quarter mark of the season at 10-9-1. They're seventh in the division. That is the final playoff spot in the division. Just shows, I mean, that's a big leap from where they were last season. So the progress is obvious, and some of the players that are guiding that progress that Golden Knight fans are going to be keenly interested in. Lucas Cormier, a tremendous start. And Trevor Connolly, since joining the team from injury, has a point in every game but two. He's a point per game pace. He's been outstanding.
He's fun to watch. I mean, I liken it, having watched, you know, each season evolve and players evolve within seasons. I remember seeing Pavel Dorofeev, you know, in his first season, like, oh, he stands out because he can create his own shot. He's good enough and gifted enough. That's what I get with Connolly. It's like, okay, all the other parts of hockey you have to get good at, and, you know, Dorofeev has gotten good at holding on to the puck. He's gotten stronger. He's good on the wall. We know how he can shoot the puck on the power play. So Connolly has to add pieces to his game, but the first thing that stands, what makes this player a prospect in the first place? And you see it with him right away in the open ice. He has the wherewithal, speed-wise, skill-wise, to create his own shot.
And now the Silver Knights have Lindbom back. He split both decisions this week. Silver Knights are going to have the expected intended goaltending tandem, at least for the moment. We don't know of anything else. of Lindbom and Vikman for the first time since October 17th. when they head to Bakersfield this week.
It affects everybody, right? Yeah. One injury, it's you don't want to call it a trickle down, but it's a trickle up.
Yeah.
You know, but it does change the rosters. And you were talking about with Megna earlier.
Megna's been up, yeah.
Right, but I remember his line to you when he said, the roster in this league, it's never going to be static.
Yeah.
There's always moving parts to it, and you have to have a good culture to get through that.
And he said, "When you're not always going to have your guys, so when you have your guys,
oh, yeah.
win games." Because, and as you mentioned, Bowman is up with the VGK. He may never go back, for all we know.
Right.
Raphael Lavoie's out for a little bit. So the Golden Knights have just finished weathering They're doing a good job weathering their storm, and hopefully there's some sun poking through the clouds in that regard, injury-wise. Silver Knights are kind of right in the middle of theirs, and a game over 500, they're weathering it pretty well, too.
Yeah, they are. And early on in the season, they did exactly what Magna was talking about. They won games when they had their roster, when Braden Bowman was there and Carl Lindbaum was there. But he wasn't there very long, right? Yeah. I mean, so, you know, they're in a situation now where they've got to find ways, once they get past the Condors, that would be great to win this week, to break that curse.
It's been a while.
I know. and then from there, you know, you're trying to you break the season into, you know, digestible chunks, if you will. And, you know, you want to get here to the holidays. Let's put on a good run to the holidays, then kind of reset from there.
Lucky launch on the 16th.
Make sure
you come down as many stuffed animals as you can bring. That's presented by America First Credit Union. We'll do a little Olympic talk, a little bit on the other side of the break, because there is some controversy. Again, we've got someone we can talk about with rink changeovers. But before we go to break, just, again, broad NHL conversation. Jack Eichel had a phenomenal overtime winner last night at MSG. The day before at Madison Square Garden was another overtime winner. We can debate which one was nicer, Jack Eichel's breakaway or Nathan McKinnon's backhander. Nathan McKinnon with 49 points already. Let's have that fun, annoying talk radio goat argument. Is Nathan McKinnon the best player in the world right now?
I think he is, and that's not taking anything away from all the outstanding players. And the reason is, I mean, just like you see Jack Eichel has – everyone marvels. Jack Eichel, I never knew he was going to become a 200-foot player, quote-unquote. He's just rounded out his game, gotten mature, and he is a terrific player. Nathan McKinnon attacks every shift like that, too. Part of it is his galloping stride.
That's the best word.
Right? It makes it look like he's really rumping all over the ice. And he is. And he can one-time it, and that's another difference. He's, you know, if you look at a lot of the – best players, they're playmakers first. They can shoot, and they do, not like Nathan McKinnon. He's looking for his shot all the time. And so to me, yeah, he's number one right now.
And I like treating that conversation like the stock market. He's the number one right now.
Oh, for sure.
A couple of weeks from now, he might say, hey, Connor McDavid's gone up 3 points.
Well, and you know, that's the thing. Oh, Connor McDavid, he's off to a quiet start, 40-some points. And he's weathered the slow start.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Finding a way.
Oh.
But I'll tell you, the way you described it, I think VGK fans, enough time has passed. There's a banner in the Raptors. We could talk about this with a smile and a chuckle.
Yeah.
Alex Pietrangelo, the game in which it was the outdoor game, I think, where he was mic'd up, and they had Nathan McKinnon storming down. You just heard him go, oh, boy. Like, that is the greatest encapsulation of
right.
what Nathan McKinnon is as a player that has ever been summed up. He is an, oh, boy, here he comes kind of player.
And he's like that to his teammates. I don't mean physically. He's demanding.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it a couple times during national games over the years. And part of it, when you're younger and you haven't won, they think you're, you know, kind of petulant. He is just wired that way. It's like he demands of himself, and he can be exacting on his teammates as well. He just wants to win. And all the guys say it. It looks like it every shift when Nathan McKinnon's on the ice.
And if he looks over his shoulder, he's going to see the likes of Macklin Celebrini and Connor Bedard trying to chase him down, which is exactly what the NHL wants and might be a head-to-head that we see for a long time in this league.
Celebrini's 19.
I said a long time.
No, I just meant, like, he's second in league scoring.
Yeah.
On
a team that is still much better and on the rise, but still it's not a finished product, the roster that he's on.
No, and it's really just going to be about surrounding him, building out that roster around him. That's obvious. I mean, 3 points again last night. 3 points. Like, a 19-year-old, if you get 3 points in a game the first couple of seasons, wow.
Yeah.
He's doing it on a nightly basis.
We've become jaded. It took us 43 minutes to get to that. What's wrong with us? Let's hop out. When we come back, we will talk a little bit of Olympics because they are on the horizon. We've talked World Juniors this week a little bit. International hockey is coming our way, and we will discuss Brian McCormick, Darren Elliott, here with you on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
I feel good.
Golden Knights fans, the Golden Knights have launched VGK Pay, presented by America First Credit Union, as a centralized payment system within the official VGK mobile app. VGK Pay is the smart way to pay for concessions and team gear at T-Mobile Arena and the Arsenal at City National Arena. Fans are eligible to earn rewards known as Fortress Funds, and season ticket members can easily redeem their discounts when using VGK Pay. The VGK mobile app is available for iOS and Android devices in the Apple Store, the App Store, and Google Play stores. Wrapping things up on Nighttime at Noon, Brian McCormick and Darren Elliott here with you as the Golden Knights continue their East Coast road trip. They've got stops on Long Island Tuesday, Philadelphia Thursday, Columbus Saturday before they come back to face the Devils at T-Mobile Arena on December the 17th. While we have time, we're going to talk a little international. We're getting ready for Olympics, so we're excited for the Olympics, if the Olympics are ready for us, because right now they're having a little bit of trouble with the geometry on the rink in Milan.
Talking about ops.
Right.
Right.
And you can speak to this. Like, it's
right. It's scary because they're already talking about compromising the length. So when you think of Olympic hockey, 200 by 100. They don't want the 100 wide, the width. That's Olympic size rink. They want NHL dimensions, so 200 by 85. Well, you can't get the 200, we're told.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 4.5 feet shorter. I don't know how they come up with that.
Right now, the figures I have on this piece of paper in front of me that Kevin gave me, so if I'm wrong, Kevin gave it to me.
He's the architect.
Is 196.85 feet by 85.3 feet.
But then where are they on the ice plant? They're not going to be able to – I don't know if it was from Kevin, but certainly the most recent information I had was they're not going to be able to test the ice until January.
Is that true, Kevin? Kevin says yes.
Okay, so it must be true. And so, that you know, that's the biggest concern. I mean, whether it's off by 3 feet. There was a time in the NHL where every rink had its own dimensions.
Yeah.
But so – it's been a long time, but
the boards weren't always even as round as they are now.
Right. Exactly, right. So that part can get past, but I know people are saying, well, they put up those for the outdoor games and the Winter Classic.
Yeah,
those are different sheets of ice, and they're engineered differently.
There aren't seats around them either,
right? And not enclosed, and you don't have it. You know, the subfloor isn't concrete. All that kind of stuff that goes into it. I find it fascinating that they're missing it by this much, because they did have hockey at Torino in 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But dust off the playbook.
Yeah, just bring.
It was not the first time like they had this in Italy. So I'm.
That was 2006, right?
Yeah, 2006.
Well, that's a whole other generation of college and high school graduates who are working on that now. You know, those metric calculators, you can't always trust them.
It's unfortunate, because we should be talking about, you know, the excitement, the ramp up. The rosters, the players, and what this might look like. And now we're like, what's it going to look like?
Yeah. Well, let's have that fun and talk about what Team USA might look like at the upcoming Olympics. Now, of course, we had the Four Nations tournament last year, and that's a pretty good basis for a starting off point. But if you look at a lot of the names that were on that Four Nations roster last year, first of all, there were some players that were not on that roster, and it was controversial then. I think it's a really – I don't know if there's any way you could possibly leave Cole Caulfield and Tage Thompson behind this time around.
Probably not.
And there are some guys who are on that U.S. roster now that we don't know exactly when they're coming back, but banged up. And, you know, is Jack Hughes going to be available and ready? Is Adam Fox going to be ready? Jacob Slavin just started skating again. Looks like he'll be an option. Matthew Tkachuk is supposed to be back soon, but there's a lot of guys who have been out for a bit that I don't know if it's 100% automatic what their availability is. Throw Connor Hellebuyck on that list too.
Yeah, and Brady Tkachuk just came back. He was one of the original, like Jack Eichel is named to the team.
Right.
They have a handful of players. What you just talked about, the goaltending and a couple of defensemen.
Yeah.
That's a big change for Team USA if those players aren't healthy. But there's going to be changes from that roster, certainly.
Yeah.
On defense, the kid is Jake Sanderson came in as an injury replacement in the Four Nations, and he has just done nothing but show that he belongs on that team in his own right with his play this year with the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, he's not going to be he's on extra. He's there. Of course, amongst VGK personnel, Noah Hanifin was on that team.
Yep.
Some of the older guys who were on that team, and I'm saying older because they're older. It doesn't mean that they should be phased out. I'm just saying that,
right.
What are they this year compared to last year? Chris Kreider, who's had a really good season in Anaheim, and you might want to bring him in to do the same thing he did. JT Miller's had a bit of a hot and cold start in New York, but Mike Sullivan's going to be going. Maybe he wants to, what factors in from that as well of guys needing, staff needing to have their guys with them?
Well, that they always prefer to have as many, across the staff, as many players as they know as possible. I mean, there's always going to be people left off that, you're going to say, oh, you got snubbed or picked the wrong guy. What I'm interested in, though, with the goaltending with USA, everyone talks about, it's pretty much Ottinger, Spencer Knight, and Hellebuyck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's where they have an advantage. It's the one position where you only need one guy.
Right.
Like, having depth is nice, but in a short tournament, it's not mandatory. One guy can get hot for a nation and kind of come out of nowhere.
If you're the third goaltender on the national team, you're one of the best goaltenders in the world, but you still might need to look better in the baseball cap than anybody else.
Yeah, and again, it you can get by with one elite goaltender. You don't need three, which they have, which is nice for USA Hockey and the goaltending development and all those kinds of things, but is it truly an advantage? I guess what I'm saying, if you just look at who the starters are across the Olympic rosters, I don't view that as big a thing. Defensively, I think they have a great core if everybody's healthy.
Now, we talked again about the dimensions. If it's going to be 4 feet shorter, right? So, and I think it also is important to say that what we're seeing right now, we're talking 4 feet shorter. We're not talking 4 feet narrower.
Right.
Because that would be, to me, more significant. But I do wonder, in your mind, that smaller, losing 2 feet on each end.
Right.
It's less room out there. It's the shoulder-to-shoulder width, essentially.
And where do you take
less
it?
Room?
Between the blue lines? You take it from the neutral zone, probably?
Yeah. Does that affect how you would build a roster, or is it inconsequential?
I think it's inconsequential, to be honest with you. It's already not a true Olympic-sized rink. It's an NHL. So you're only losing 4 feet. And as I said, none of these players would have played in Boston Garden or some of those funky rinks that were nowhere near 200 feet long and 85 feet wide. Chicago Stadium, all those buildings have been retired, and probably for good reason. But I don't really think so, especially if they keep the end zones true,
right,
and shrink it through the neutral zone.
Because if you were, and Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, just name a couple, they can play rough and tumble and skill on both ends, so they serve that purpose. If you weren't going to bring along one or two thumpers for 200 by 85, you probably don't have to make that change for 196 by 85 either.
No, I don't think so. It's easy for us to say we're not going back and retrieving pucks and having them bearing down on the forecheck, but I don't think so. That's pretty much one stride.
Does it affect coaching? Let's put it this way, because I agree with you. I don't think they're going to take room out of the offensive zone.
Right.
So if the neutral zone shrinks by 4 feet, that would probably, I think, that's going to affect a regroup, or that's going to affect how you navigate the neutral zone if there barely is one.
Right. I mean, that's where you're going to see probably more end zone play. There won't be as much crispness through the neutral zone because it's going to be more congested.
Before we let our audience go, because the Golden Knights are getting back to work tomorrow night on Long Island against an Islanders team that is young, is talented. We saw them a couple weeks ago at T-Mobile Arena. Matthew Schaefer's having a phenomenal start to the season. But they are one of the teams that's having their good stretch largely in the Metropolitan Division. What do you expect needs to be done at UBS Arena to find two more points?
Well, I think it's, you know, pretty much how you played them before. You want to press them, you know, and they're like a lot of teams prey on your turnovers in the neutral zone. Talking about the neutral zone, you want to make sure you're clean, put pucks behind them, go after it and get it, and don't let Bo Horvat shoot because he's hot.
All good information, and the Golden Knights will be taking on the New York Islanders tomorrow night, a 7 o'clock Eastern, so 4 o'clock Pacific puck drop. That is a TNT game, but you can always hop on for the pregame show. I believe that Darren Millar is going to be doing here from Studio 31. I believe that's on the docket for 30 minutes before game time. Darren, fun as always.
Love it. A little delay there. Sorry about the technical difficulties, everybody out there.
We bounced back. Great having you with us. Hope you had a great lunch hour. We'll see you next time on Nighttime at Noon.